If I'm a good example of anything, I think it's hard work. I want them to see that things don't come easy, particularly if you're going to choose a weird job, something a little outside of the mainstream like cartooning.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everyone? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast online. I'm very happy to have Nathan Hale. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Excited to be here.
My youngest, actually, my whole family loves to read, but my youngest definitely picked up on your Hazardous Tales series, and you're coming out with a new book called Blades of Freedom in this series. I love, especially as a parent, when kids have a passion for reading, because I think I'm preaching to the choir here, sir, but their imagination tends to get bigger and they think outside the box, and I think they do better in school just because of all the different vocabulary and the ways to think about a storyline and all those good things. So before we kind of go into the Blades of Freedom and the Hazardous Tales, you as a parent, talk about the benefits you feel that books, of course, besides, like, you know, just learning how to read and, you know, reading is fundamental, but you as a parent and as, you know, put the two hats on, first as a parent and as an author and artist, what are some of the benefits for books for kids, in your opinion?
I'm the worst because I don't really care about the educational benefits. I am all in it for the fun. Like, I really am. I grew up kind of a hardcore reader. My parents didn't have a TV, and there's nothing I like more than getting hooked and pulled into a book. I really come at reading and writing, not from a homework perspective, but from an enjoyment perspective. Like, if kids aren't getting pleasure from the reading, I don't want to make that book, you know? The benefits, if they're, you know, the benefits are great, but I look at them as, that's a side effect. The number one thing is, are they having a great time? Are they enjoying it? Are they, you know, are they pulled into the story? Is it, you know, that's what I'm all about. It's I'm there for the pleasure of reading and having a good time.
Nice. Great answer right there, sir. And, you know, like I said, congratulations on your latest book, Blades of Freedom, in your Hazardous Tales series. For fans of your book, obviously you're not going to give the whole thing away, but what can they expect? Give a little background on the theme of Blades of Freedom and what fans of yours can expect from this one.
Well, the craziest thing is this is book 10. Mm. I can't believe I've made it to book 10 in a series.
That's awesome.
And this one is a little bit different. A lot of the books, these are historical comics, either focus on like one event or one person or, you know, that type of thing. This book is a little different because the frame of the book is it's about the Louisiana Purchase, but instead of just following, you know, Thomas Jefferson trying to make the Louisiana Purchase or, you know, how it happened. It's broken into about 8 different short stories that are all twisted up and intertwined. So you find out, you see things from France's point of view. We find out who the first Europeans to discover and claim the Louisiana Purchase were. We see all of the crazy things that went in behind the scenes. It's got all kinds of some crazy stuff in it. And I'm really anxious to see how readers like it because it is a little different than a lot of the ones so far because it jumps all over the globe. I mean, this is really like, it's almost world history when it comes to that Louisiana Purchase. We think of it as, you know, a little slice of American history, but it involves the Haitian Revolution and Napoleon and the French Revolution. It's all over the map.
Oh, I love it. Again, congrats on this being the 10th book in the series. That's amazing. And I know a lot of families around the world will want more from you. But how do you choose the subjects for your books? I mean, do you kind of work with the book publishing company, or is this kind of like all you, depending on where you want to go in regards with the historical fiction and all that?
The publisher is really great about it. They let me kind of chart my course. What I'll do is I'll send them 3 or 4 possible ones that I might want to do, and then they'll be kind of like, "Ooh, we like the sound of this one." I once made the mistake of sending them like 8 different concepts or history things, and they, I don't know how many meetings they had. It took them just like months and months and months to decide. So if I have something I really want to do, I'll campaign really hard on it. And if not, I'll put about 3 ideas out and I'll cross my fingers that we get to one of them. And a lot of times, you know, if they don't pick it for, you know, this book, it goes into the rotation for the next book.
Gotcha.
But the history that I cover, sometimes it's super well-known stuff, you know, like the Donner Party, or sometimes it's lesser known things. I just, I tend to go to the things that have the craziest stories or the weirdest characters or the most gruesome outcome. That's what my readers want.
Nice. And for more information on his books and just about Nathan, make sure you go to NathanHaleAuthor.com. Of course, put up links here at artoffatherhood.net. You're an artist and an author, which I think is awesome. I mean, just writing is tough in itself, but then also drawing and all that. Talk about your creative process, maybe not just for Hazardous Tales, but just for your work in general. Is it formulaic or does it depend on each project?
It totally depends on each project. I wish I had a formula that would make life a lot easier for me, but I feel like I'm reinventing how I work every single time, and particularly the drawing end. When you're a cartoonist, you're spending, you know, 10, 14 hours a day sometimes drawing. You're constantly at war with yourself to try and trick yourself into meeting the deadlines or trick yourself into having a lot of fun doing it. I'm really good at being lazy, so I have to be really tricky to trick myself into putting a book out, right?
Yeah.
So it's each one's different. And not only is that for, you know, I don't want the readers to get bored of the same formula every time, but I don't want to get bored of doing it myself. So I really kind of switch it up every time. For the Hazardous Tales series, sometimes there's different narrators that join in. Sometimes it's a whole different type of concept for the book. For my World War One book, we changed all the characters into animals so that kids could tell the countries apart. Just constantly trying to make it new and make it fresh and make it interesting, both to the reader and for me.
Nice. I love it. And, you know, again, the book is just coming out, Hazardous Tales. And, of course, you live in a, you know, instant gratification society. But I think this is more of my youngest daughter's asking than me. But I guess there's me, too, curiosity. I know you just finished that book. Are you planning on working on another book soon for the Hazardous Tales series?
Oh, deep in the middle of it. should be out next year.
That's awesome. Nice, man.
Number 11.
Awesome.
Barely took a break.
Say, hey, you're doing a good job not being lazy. So there you go, man. I love it. I was reading up, you know, some of your interviews that people did of you, and then also too some videos. And I love the fact that you know, you mentioned earlier in this interview about, like, you know, your parents not having a TV, and in certain interviews you said, like, you would be skiing. You'd just be like, yep, we're skiing, like, the whole day, and you would just come up with ideas on the ski lift, right?
Oh yeah.
When did you realize, like, all right, I want to be an author. I want to be an artist. Like, or and too, did an artist or an author or a book series influence you to come down this path?
We lived a couple of blocks from the public library growing up. So I would go with my mom. We would walk, you know, and with a younger sibling in a stroller or whatever, walk down to the library and pull out books. So I was super into the whole idea of books and authors from a super young age. And I was also really into the Caldecott medal, you know, a little sticker that goes on the books. My yeah. favorite book was Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah.
And it had that big gold medal on the front. And I was kind of obsessed with it because this was also kind of at the height of the 80s Olympic boom, you know, with like Mary Lou Retton and the gold medals everywhere.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, these are the two most important things to humankind. The Olympic medal and a Caldecott medal. And I, you know, I took a long, hard look at myself and I'm like, pretty sure I'm not going to get an Olympic medal. but I was fascinated with medals, you know, the very end of Star Wars when yep. Han Solo and Luke Skywalker, they get gold medals. So like, that's all I wanted to do. So I was fixated on winning a medal and doing a picture book. And so I was always really into it. I submitted my first picture book for publication when I was in high school still.
Oh, wow.
They didn't take it, but I did submit.
I think that's amazing. Like, especially, you know, you got that passion and you know, you did it in high school. Because, like, and now look where you are. You're going to be working on your 11th Hazardous Tales book. And, you know, you've created a lot of other books as well. And again, you know, it brings joy to so many families. So I know that makes what you do for a living that much better. Talk a little bit about fatherhood, sir. I love, you know, getting everybody's take on fatherhood when I bring them on here. So when you found out you're going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, Nathan?
Well, it's been a long time for me. My kids are teenagers. In fact, I've got my oldest son is in college right now. He's in university.
Nice.
So it's hard to think back that far. And I had kids fairly young. I was in my early 20s when we decided to have kids. So now it's hard to imagine life not having kids. So that's a very tough question. It was just, you know, suddenly there were kids around.
Hey, no worries. Hey, you know what? I think a lot of, you know, dads who have kids in high school and college will kind of feel the same way. It's like, yeah, remember, you know, there was a time where there was silence, and then all of a sudden, boom, there was noise.
Right? Yeah. So I've got a son in university, and he was about an hour away. He's going to the University of Utah. Nice. And then I've got a 15-year-old daughter, and she used to be really fun. We used to be buddies. But I'm at that place in parenting where I'm trying to focus on not making myself a focal point in the house. You know, like it's about her now. And as a parent, I'm supposed to be kind of stepping back. And you know, she's really into that teenage independence, and so she slaps back on things pretty hard. So, you know, all day long we're, you know, walking on eggshells around her, but she's still a lot of fun. She's a big reader, and she also is very into drawing and comics, like I am. She's actually a lot better than I was when I was 15. So watch out.
Yeah, nice. That's great. And especially with your daughter being an artist, what do they think of your profession? And you know, especially for your daughter, do you think she would kind of follow your path as well?
I would hope so, because I feel like I could, you know, really kind of craft her career, show her how to do it and everything. Of course, she wants zero of my advice, you know. But they grew up. I've been a working artist since, you know, the whole time.
Yeah.
So for them, you know, I might as well, you know, work in the shoe store or something. It's just what dad does.
Yeah.
But they have been very lucky in that they get dragged to a lot of, you know, their old hands at San Diego Comic-Con. Oh, and, nice. And, you know, lots of, my daughter is good buddies with, Jeannie Schultz, the widow of Charles Schultz, the creator of Snoopy and the Peanuts Gang. And we go up to the Schultz Museum in Santa Rosa, California every summer. They hang out together. She's been to big library conferences and hung out with all of the kids' graphic novel artists, and then come back to me and been like, "Dad, this is so boring here. I'm sick of this, you know." I'm sick of spending all day with all these award-winning cartoonists. But no, they've had fun.
Nice. Very cool. And of course, like you said, like, you know, especially with your daughter and your son's at college right now, you're always a parent no matter what, even if they don't want your advice, if you're kind of, you know, not the focal point. But talk about some of the core values you were looking to instill into them as they were growing up.
Well, I think if I'm a good example of anything, I think it's hard work. I want them to see that things don't come easy, particularly if you're going to choose a weird job, something a little outside of the mainstream like cartooning, that it takes work. I'm bad at procrastinating, and my son got that really bad. You know, he's king procrastinator. So I'm like, ooh, but you got the hard work too, right? The ability to focus on things and work hard at them, but then also to enjoy that you've done a good job. You know, when my daughter finishes a piece of artwork or something, I really want her to let her know, hey, this is great. Like, this is a really impressive piece of work. Keep at it. You know, I tend to not pause and enjoy how good things are. You know what I mean? I'm always kind of stressing out. You know, you can get 10 compliments, but you only worry about the one upsetting thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those are two things I try to pass along that are, you know, work hard, but also enjoy yourself. You know, don't be too hard on yourself all the time.
No doubt. Thank you very much for sharing that. Two more questions before we go into the fatherhood quick five. What is something you learned about yourself from your kids, about yourself or about life in general?
It's a tricky one. Let me think on that for a second. I don't want to fall back too much into my last answer. My daughter's 15, and it's hard to watch the mistakes that she makes. Well, not mistakes, but it's hard to watch her attitude, because I recognize it 100% from when I was 15. And when I was 15, I was too cool for school and too cool to hang out with kids my own age and too cool, you know, to talk to my parents or to ask for help or to do any of this stuff. It took me years and lots of dumb, embarrassing things happening before I got over, you know, kind of that hump of just, you know what, just be yourself. Don't, people who aren't too cool to do things are having so much more fun than the people that want everybody else to think that they're so, so cool.
Yeah.
Just have fun. And my daughter has really just put a mirror on that to my face. I'm just like, ooh, what am I still doing that's, you know, too cool for school?
I appreciate your answer. And then lastly, and again, I know you're kind of, you know, it doesn't really matter the age of your kids for this question, but what is one big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads?
Ah, to new dads. Running stroller. Get a running stroller.
Nice.
I had so much fun. I felt like I did so much bonding with my kids when they were small enough to fit in a jogger stroller.
Okay.
And we could just go out. So I think both kids wouldn't go down for a nap unless they were in a running stroller.
Nice.
And I'd, you know, strap them down in. And, you know, we became fixtures around the town. People knew we were coming. You know, they'd see, oh, there they go again. And you're getting all this bonus exercise at the same time. They get fresh air outside.
Yeah.
I was really brokenhearted when they were too old to put in a running stroller anymore. That's my number one.
it's great. Again, you said you're getting exercise, you're having some good bonding with your kids, and your kids were kind of your motivation because they wouldn't go down for a nap unless they got that ride in there, right? So, love it. Now we got the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie?
All right.
You guys like to watch together right now is what?
Oh, well, see, we go through a lot of phases. We don't have one we go back to again and again. And the last movie I watched with the kid was the original Poltergeist.
Oh.
What a weird movie that is.
Oh.
I think I saw that at far too young of an age, and it absolutely terrified me. But I think, you know, 15, they were able to watch it. And I said, well, what do you think, guys? How did that hold up? Because they'd never seen it before, and they were genuinely impressed by what a weird movie that is.
Yeah. That movie, like, especially like the steak moving across the kitchen, the Cheetos, the guy like in the mirror,
oh.
All that stuff. Yeah. I think I watched that probably when maybe around the same age as a kid. And I was just like, is this trying to like scare kids not to watch TV?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's legitimately scary, but it also has like a really fun family dynamic, you know. I think it's Craig T. Nelson. Is the dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the kids are funny. There's a teenage daughter that has her own super bizarre plot that you're just trying to read between the lines to figure out what's going on with her, and it's wild.
Yeah, and then like the second one, they had that weird preacher guy, like, and I was just like, that even freaked me out more.
Guy.
Yeah.
Please don't mistake this as the favorite family movie. That's just the last family movie we watched, and it was we enjoyed that one. We also for Scary Movie Night watched Crawl, about the alligator in the crawl space.
Okay.
I recommend that one if your kids are older and like alligator attack movies.
Okay. Love it. Was there a band or musician you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to when they got to a certain age?
My kids have been very standoffish about musical taste. They do not want to be influenced. The headphones go in the second they get a chance. But when they were young, the number one thing that made it something they wanted to listen to was a funny voice, right?
Okay.
A local library had a collection of the original Chipmunks. You know, the Christmas song Chipmunks.
Yeah, yeah.
In the 60s, they were putting out full comedy albums, and that we played that CD to death. The greatest hits of the Chipmunks, and you know, these are comedy gag songs from the 60s.
Yeah.
And those just slayed the kids. Also, my son absolutely loved a horrible thing called Crazy Frog, which is, once again, funny voices.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of your listeners are just groaning. No, not Crazy Frog. It's like a Euro disco pop chipmunk, but it's a frog. So those were our go-tos when the kids were young. Had to have a funny voice, though.
But we joke.
Didn't care about, like, you know, like a good danceable beat. No, had to be funny voice.
Well, you know, we're kind of joking about that, but I think about like Baby Shark and, you know, all of those other songs.
Oh.
Like, so it's like, that was like the Baby Shark from back then, right? So like everyone's got that song, right?
100%.
I know everyone's not really traveling, but talk about the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Got to be the great outdoors, your national parks, your long hikes, your camping, your campouts. You know, we've done many different family vacations. And I find that like resorts and amusement parks and stuff, it's almost just too much stimulation. I remember my daughter had like a spontaneous nosebleed at Universal Studios because it was just too much.
Yeah.
Too much going on. You know, we were in Jurassic Park World and a raptor walked by and just blood shot out of her nose.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know, there's where are we going to eat? What are we going to do? How long are the lines? You know, crazy. And, you know, we've got fun memories from places like that. But what we've really enjoyed is a good camping trip or nice. A good trip to the national parks, a good long day hike. Everybody in America should save their pennies and take a Grand Canyon River trip through the rapids and spend time with your kids that way. You're all trapped together and you're surviving wilderness, and it's a lot of fun. You know, suddenly you're all talking. Everybody's chatting to each other. Everybody's having a good time, or at least an interesting time, you know.
Yeah.
So my ideal family vacation, big camp out, big national park rafting trip, that kind of thing.
Nice. Yeah, my sister-in-law went out there to the Grand Canyon, and just like it was with her family, and it was just like, oh, we need to go there. So yeah, I second that. Favorite book for you when you were a kid was?
Oh, favorite book when I was a kid. This is a weird one that I go to. Not Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but the sequel, Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator.
Yes.
Charlie and Willy Wonka go into space and fight aliens. Super amazing. They made two movies of the Chocolate Factory, zero movies of this Great Glass Elevator space adventure. But that one was also just super inspiring because I'm like, this author has put a factory owner and a kid in an elevator in space, and they're fighting aliens, like anything's possible.
Love it, man. Nice. And finally, what are the top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad?
Oh, man. Well, let's see. In describing my own dad, before we can put any words out, it's just laughter. Like, describe your dad, we just start laughing, right?
Yeah.
So, it's because of his bizarre behavior and the funny things he's done over the years. So, I'd almost say I want a wordless. I want a smile, a laugh, and then a long sigh. Right? those are my three words.
That is brilliant. I love that. That is one of the best three, I guess, phrases or laughs or just things that people can, you know, say. And I think that would put, you know, a chef's kiss on, you know, your role as a dad to them. So I love that. People, make sure you follow Nathan on Twitter at Mr. Nathan Hale. Purchase his book, Blades of Freedom, and of course, all of his other great books in the Hazardous Tales series and all the other great books that he's done, like One Trick Pony, Apocalypse, Taco, a bunch of other things, Rapunzel's Revenge. You go to his website, NathanHaleAuthor.com. You get all the different things and where to purchase the books. And again, thank you for the time, and thank you for making such a great series for not only my daughter, but for kids around the world to, you know, read and enjoy. I mean, we can get lost in a book, and like I think you said in the beginning, where you just want people to enjoy and have fun with their books, and my family definitely has fun with your books. So thank you for doing what you do, sir.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. This has been great.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.